Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
Good morning. Welcome in. My name is Garrett Chapman, filling in for Dylan Matthews here on the Hometown Take. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome in, welcome in. Shout out to all you great folks out there who are up this early in the morning, working hard, earning that paycheck, doing your thing. I know Dylan has this whole thing about he gives all the shout outs, and I love that he does that. It's one of my favorite things that he does in the morning. I just can't remember them all. Uber drivers, delivery workers. Noel, do you remember any of these? I can never remember him. He's so good at doing it. But either way, you know who you are. Good morning. Welcome in. My name is Garrett Chapman. And look, we got an hour to sit here and chat. Talking all things Atlanta sports. Mostly with, we'll talk a little college football here in the second segment. We'll start here with these Atlanta Falcons. Because I'm still feeling some type of way about Sunday. I'm frustrated. Irritated, what adjective do you want me to use? I mean, it has been a tough season for these Atlanta Falcons. And you have four games left. And I remember I do a podcast, and I was sitting there and thinking about, how do I talk to these people? How do I address these fans? How do I say these things? Because there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of frustration. And I share in a lot of that frustration. But at the same time, we need to be, I think Pete Carroll said this when he was talking about where the Raiders are right now. That team does need our support. Those players do need our support. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult when you're getting outscored 31-3 in the second half. And I can't in good conscience tell people to be like all in on whatever's happening with that team right now. I can't. What's happening right now with these Atlanta Falcons is just, it's frustrating, it's mind-numbing, it is a continuation of a lot of the issues that this team has had. And I'm going to let you hear from head coach Raheem Morris, from his press conference yesterday. And well, we're just going to go in order. We're just going to go 1 through 11, we'll get to as many as we can. This team is in a weird situation. Not a weird, a bad situation. You're outside of the playoffs. You've guaranteed an eighth season in a row with a losing record. 8 years in a row. That's a long time. That's a long time. Thank God for the Jets, man. Thank God for the Jets. And salt in the wound, one of those teams who's right there with you as far as playoff droughts are concerned, are the Carolina Panthers. And I mean, I don't know a lot of people who thought that team was close to you at the beginning of the season. In this market, the general consensus was that the Falcons were going to be competing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the beginning of the season. The expectation for this team was that they were going to be going to the postseason at the end of this season. None of that has come to pass. And a lot of the issues that have plagued this team have done it time and time and time and time again. Third down issues, special teams woes, offensive inconsistency, defense letting up. By God, the only thing that does it, that isn't broken is the flipping pass rush, which, I don't know, has only been the thing that hasn't been in this city for the last 20 years. My God, the irony. It's uncanny. It's uncanny. The one thing that you finally, that you've been clamoring for, begging for in this city, you finally get it right, and everything else goes awry. Raheem Morris, he said yesterday, amid the continued special teams woes, there will be no staff changes.
You know, staff changes right now is irrelevant. You know, you always want to go across, and you're always going to have to evaluate everything at the end of the season. You know, like, we got to go out there and cover kicks. We got to go out there and block and protect. We got to go out there and do all the things that we're capable of doing. We got people that know how to do it. We got people that know what to do, and we got to execute. Like, that is the part that's driving me nuts, the execution part.
It's driving me nuts, too. I mean, all I know is I'm at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and I run back at halftime to go grab a cup of water. And game's tied 6-6. Then all of a sudden I hear groans from it coming from the crowd, and I come back, and all of a sudden the Falcons are at what felt like an insurmountable deficit, 7 points. What turned out to be an insurmountable deficit, because the Falcons don't even get into the end zone. That's something that I feel like not a lot of people talked about yesterday on the station. A lot of the reactions, a lot of it was about special teams, a lot of it was coaching. We did not score a touchdown yesterday on Sunday. We didn't score a touchdown. My God, man. I mean, it's the fact that was one of our old friends that I thought we had put behind us. Red zone woes. Not taking advantage of your opportunities. Yeah, but as far as special teams go, I mean, it's ironic that the Falcons invested as much as they did. As much as they did. Because you go down the list of the players who are almost exclusively on special teams. And look, it is a branch of this team. It really is. It's an important branch of the team. It's an important branch of every team in the NFL. And it's often, often overlooked. Marquise Williams has talked ad nauseum about how the mentality of a special teamer has to be unique. It has to be. Because you have one play to get it done. You also have one play to completely upset the apple cart. And that's all you have to go on. Whether you're a kicker, whether you're Kadarius Hodge and you're a gunner, D'Angelo Malone, Josh Woods, what do all these guys have in common? They've missed games. J.D. Bertrand is another one of those guys who, I mean, look, he was forced into a prominent role. And now I think that guy's lost his confidence. He was a pretty decent special teamer last year. Dee Alford, another player who's being pushed up onto the active roster. He's a special teamer. So you have to do what you can with what you have. Doesn't explain why Kadarius Hodge was a healthy scratch 2 weeks ago in New York, but it does kind of go to explain this team has been banged up, specifically in the special teams core. They've been banged up all over the field, but specifically in the special teams core. Jamal Agnew missed several games, and Jamal Agnew's been a disappointment, to say the very least. You talk about a guy who was sold to be a game wrecker. And look, he's a good football player. I mean, Raheem Morris, I distinctly remember him talking about how he showed Jamal Agnew highlights during training camp to show guys what he was capable of. And he's proceeded to do none of that. Frustrating. Raheem Morris talks about it. They invested a lot.
The hard part for us is we dedicate so much time and people into special teams, right? We have people on our roster that are strictly dedicated to it. We went out and got these people. We sought them out. We found them. We put them on our grass. We put them on our football team. And they're out there to make those plays, and we got to make them. And, like, there's no excuses for that. There's no better way to put it than other than frustration to be absolutely 100% with you. Those are frustrating plays, particularly when they happen in games like that, in moments like that, when you got a chance to win. Right. You got a chance to at least make it competitive, I should say.
It flips games. It flips games. And it's flipped a lot of Falcons games on its head this season. And a lot of it, I think, does come back to the fact. And look, anybody coming after Raheem Morris for these comments about special teams, about, I mean, we're about to get into some of his comments about job security and stuff like that. Anybody coming at Raheem Morris for what he's saying here, I don't really know what you expect him to say at this point. What do you expect him to say at this point? Do you want him to get up there and throw a fit? Start screaming and crying and throwing stuff? I mean, people talked about throwing chairs in the press conference. No. This guy's a professional football coach, and he is a professional. And I have a lot of respect for Raheem Morris, the person. I've had my qualms with him necessarily. Well, I've had my qualms with him as a coach, as a decision maker, things like that. But I have a lot of respect for what he is doing and who he is. Right? The team's just not winning. And it's very frustrating. And look, there are repercussions for these kinds of things. And I'm not cheering for any of them. I don't think that I don't like people getting fired. I think that it's part of the job. It's part of the job. He understands what he signed up for. And look, he said as much. But this is a Falcons team that has nothing to play for at this point, aside from pride. You're playing for your paycheck. I mean, you could feel it in the locker room after the game that there was, it just felt different. And it wasn't as much frustration as the air had just gone out of the building. Jesse Bates was a shell of himself. It's frustrating. I get it. You work very, very hard. And look, the fans in the city, they care a lot, and they deserve to have a winner that they have not had in almost a decade. It's very frustrating. I get it. Raheem Morris talked about how it is an awful feeling that you have nothing to play for.
Yeah, that's awful. You never want to be in this spot. But really, just the job is to go out and play spoiler right now. You got a Tampa Bay Buccaneer team on Thursday that that we got a lot of respect for, that we love to play. That's always a highly competitive football game, and I expect no different. I love the fact that our guys get to get back on the grass and go out there and take another shot at it. We got some high-character people in our building, and now we just got to go look at the tape. We got to go figure out from a team, a collective group, on what we need to do to win this football game, because that's the only thing that really matters.
Yeah. Go win. I mean, he talked yesterday about how he's going to come in here and play spoiler. I love that. I mean, if we can take it away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, great. I think that'd be wonderful. And ultimately, I just want to win enough games that I don't have to hear about the LA Rams all offseason. I mean, I'm still thrilled with that pick. I am over the moon with that pick. Mind you, James Pierce, I mean, he is one game away from tying, you know, Micah Parsons for the most sacks in a row as a rookie. He's one of three players who has ever gone for five sacks in five consecutive games, or a sack in five consecutive games. He's got 5.5. He has 6. He's one away from tying the Atlanta Falcons franchise record for a rookie. He's one away. Mike Pitts, 1983. Been a long time. Now, look, I'm not going to come out and say that he's going to be an elite all-pro. I'm not saying he's going to come in here and be Micah Parsons or anything like that, but he's pretty damn good. And let me tell you what, he has been one of the most consistent presences over this bad stretch of games. He's been great. And look, he was consistent before that, too. He just wasn't getting sacks. He still leads this team in pressures. He's been fantastic for this team this season. I don't think for one second that I or anybody else should ever feel bad about trading that pick. I just know it's going to be a topic of conversation. I've already seen it on social media. I have friends who are texting me and poking fun at me, and I'm like, dude, I'm fine. I'm good. And they're telling me I'm coping. Coping? No, I just have a really good pass rusher to fix my issues that my franchise has had for a long time. Just think about it this way. Jalen Walker, he was projected as a top 10 pick. James Pierce, he was projected as someone in the around 15 to 25. Well, that's what we got. We just did it a year early. It's not that complicated, folks. It is not that complicated. I'm thrilled. You should be thrilled. I will not think twice about it. All right, when we get back, college football, Notre Dame, we got to talk about this. You had an athletic director spewing some nonsense, but he also said something pretty smart that I kind of agree with. That's why it's smart. We'll talk about that when we get back. My name is Garrett Chapman. This is the Hometown Take. I'm filling in for Dylan Matthews. Morning shift coming up in about 45 minutes. I see people walking in the door. They're champion of the bit to get up here on the show here in the Kia Studios. Your home of the Falcons on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Taking a look at the top local sports stories with the Hometown Take.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome in, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Noelle always surprises me. She got a good catalog. What a catalog. I love it. Man, how about that? That'll get you going here on a beautiful Tuesday morning. Cold Tuesday morning here in the city of Atlanta. Below freezing. I don't like that. I don't like the cold, man. I don't like the cold. I can put up with it. But it's one of those things. I mean, there's a reason I live in Atlanta, so I don't have to deal with it. Not as much. I mean, once we get into, I don't know about you, but it's like once I get into the wintertime, I think I just sort of deal with it and I'm fine. It's just that early period when you're not used to it being 30 degrees yet. And that's when, because I was walking into the studio this morning, and I park in the neighborhood. I walk in, and it's kind of a nice little walk. It's a good wake you up kind of walk, especially when the wind is cutting your face. it is a good way to wake up in the morning. But at the same time, I'm sitting there walking. I'm like, good gracious, it's cold. Turns out it's just 32. I'm like, oh no, 32 degrees. Well. I feel like it's cold is a mentality. Being cold or not cold or whatever. I think once you're at like below zero or whatever, that's just cold. But outside of that, I think it's all mental. It's all mental. All right. The college football playoff field is set. We know who's going. We know who's not. And we know one person who's been complaining quite loudly. And to some degree, I mean, you could say rightfully so. Because it's been a tough sledding here for Notre Dame over the last couple of days. But our field is set. We got James Madison and Oregon. They're going to be taking on, or they're going to be playing each other on the 20th. That line is minus 21. My goodness. The winner of that one is going to go on and play Texas Tech. Alabama and Oklahoma. They're going to move on, or one of those is going to move on and take on Indiana in the Rose Bowl. Tulane and Ole Miss. They're going to be playing. They're 17.5-point favorites are Ole Miss. Even though Lane Kiffin's not there, no mo. The winner of that one goes and plays Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Miami and Texas A&M, they play, the 20th at noon. Texas A&M is a 4-point favorite, and they play Ohio State. No Notre Dame. And I know that a lot of people were surprised. I was not super surprised. That was my thought. If Duke won. If Virginia won, fine. I think actually Notre Dame would have made it in. And it's ironic because of the way they were pounding the table for all these teams that ended up, you know, screwing them, I guess you could say. Because they were cheering for Texas Tech to beat BYU. They were cheering for Georgia to beat Alabama. The way it all worked out, actually, you were cheering for the wrong teams, guys. Wrong teams. I don't know if I, and what I'm alluding to, they were changing their profile pictures to whatever logo they were cheering for, which is a weird thing to do, I think, ultimately. It's whatever, it's social media, it's not real. Twitter's not real, folks. But it was a little strange. Then it just turns out that the team they should have been cheering for all along was Virginia. Instead, Duke comes out. They get the overtime win, and they win the ACC. Interesting. Yeah. Well, it puts Notre Dame in a tough spot because then at that point, you're never going to drop Alabama out. And I know, I mean, we talked about it a lot yesterday as far as what Alabama had done. You have a resume. You're 7-2 against teams like rated in these whatever metrics you want to talk about. They're like 7-2 in like the top 30 teams or whatever. Notre Dame's 2-2. You're the same record in conference or in regular season play. Difference is Notre Dame, just as someone on Paul Feinbaum's show would say, "Hey, you only play nobody, Paul." Yeah, and play a real tough schedule. And a lot of that comes back to the fact that they are sitting outside of the ACC, but inside of the ACC, it's kind of a weird situation that they're dealing with the conference. And they have made their displeasure felt. Let's just say the athletic director, he comes on to onto ESPN, and he is voicing his displeasure. Pete Bavakwa says that permanent damage was done between Notre Dame and the ACC. Take a listen.
We have no gripes about any of the schools in the ACC, but we were mystified by the actions of the conference to attack, you know, their biggest really business partner in football and a member of their conference
in
24 of our other sports. And I would tell you, Dan, I wouldn't be honest with you if I didn't say that they have certainly done permanent damage to the relationship between the conference and Notre Dame.
What do you mean?
Just we didn't appreciate the fact that we were
singled out repeatedly
and compared to Miami. Not by Miami. Miami has every right to do that. But it raised a lot of eyebrows here that the conference was taking shots at us. And you know, that's just not something we chose to do. We wouldn't choose to do that in the future, and people might disagree with us, but that's just not something that we'd be comfortable with.
Oh, no. You're a business partner, or are you a member of the conference? You're not a member of the conference. You are in every other sport. If this was basketball, this would be different, but it's not basketball. If this was baseball, this would be different, but it's not baseball. It's football. Oh, you felt singled out? You felt singled out. You're independent. You are independent. That means you are not in a conference. I don't think I need to explain this to Notre Dame people, do I? You're independent. Of course you're going to get singled out. You love it that way. You have your own television network. But at the end of the day, you didn't do enough to win. Why should the ACC sit there and prop you up? You're not going to share any of your revenue. What should they do? Why should you complain about what the ACC is doing for its member teams? You're not in the ACC. That's called having you want the benefits of the contract without the burden of it. That's not how this works. You don't get to pick and choose the things that you want solely for the benefit of yourselves. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. And it's unbelievable to me that he's going to stand up here, the athletic director of Notre Dame. And look, he's supposed to come in here and say this. He's supposed to come in and voice his displeasure. It's his job. It's his job. I get it. I understand it. But it's also my job to call out BS when I see it. And that's what this is. You cannot sit here and pontificate on the other all these other things that have gone against you when you set it up to go this way. You made your bed. Now you have to lie in it. You cannot complain. I don't want to hear it. And all these, and then I see on social media all these fans talking about, "Oh, we are college football." No, you're not. No, you're not. Then they show the picture of them beating Georgia after they beat the backup quarterback in the Sugar Bowl. Okay, great. You had a great season last year. And look, Notre Dame was a great team this year. Do you know who else had a great team? I don't know. The 2023 two-time defending national champions were pretty good. They got left out. And I always hesitate to make that comparison because it's a 4-team field and this is a 12-team field. It's different. But you also have two losses. right? You have two losses. And if you didn't want those losses to come back and bite you in the rear, play in a conference. Because they would have been, if they were in the ACC, they would have been in Charlotte, North Carolina, playing for a conference championship. But they weren't, because they're not in the conference. So why should the conference go to bat for you? It doesn't make any sense to me. It makes absolutely no sense to me. It's silly. And again, I understand why he's saying what he is saying. I understand Pete Bavakwa's got to say the things that support Notre Dame. That's his job. And I see him up on the screen here, making the same quote that he did over on the Dan Patrick Show. You're saying what you're supposed to, but it doesn't mean it is correct. All right, Pete Bavakwa continues. Talking about playoff expansion. So this was, there was more said. He wasn't just in here for a quick hitter. There was actually a full conversation. Took a chance that I wasn't able to listen to the entire thing, but I listened to as much as I could. But he does say one thing that I do agree with. Take a listen to what he had to say about the playoff expansion.
I think anything beyond 16, in my opinion, is a mistake because it would interfere with the importance of the regular season. And oh, by the way, did we feel that this year, right? But that's important. We had two tough games. Played, you know, well. We certainly got better over the course of the season, but we lost to two great teams by a total of 4 points. We felt we had zero wiggle room. We felt we did what we needed to do. It turns out we didn't have a chance.
Yeah, well, beyond 16 teams is a complete joke. I would say 16 teams is a joke. I would say 12 is too many. And I know a lot of people here all over the place, they disagree with me, and that's fine. You can disagree. And the toothpaste is out of the tube. So we're at 12. They're going to expand. It's where we are, right? I've had other folks shove that in my face. Like, whatever. I don't care. It's whatever. I get it. That's where we are. But in a perfect world, there are not more than five teams in any given season that can win a national title. And I would say there are probably fewer who deserve it, right? This year, I'd say there are four that I would have in that category. And it is, ironically, the top four. Anybody else, I don't feel, deserves it. I mean, you can make it a claim for maybe Oregon if you want to push them in there. They lost the big game that they played this season, but they won a bunch of other big games, and they're right there in the thick of it. So they can get hot at the right time. That's fine if you're the number five overall. But this is the biggest thing that I said when expansion was coming, is that it's fine in the fact that we are going to see more games matter. Great. It fills your Saturdays in the fall, and I love that. It makes for a very entertaining product. But when it comes down to it, when it comes down to selecting a national champion at the end of the season or somebody who is going to compete for said national championship, the onus is moved from the biggest games and the biggest moments to games that are not quite as big. It makes more games matter. Think of it as like you have $100. You only have $100, but it spreads out everywhere else. So the big games matter less, right? We saw that with the Big Ten championship game. We saw that with the SEC championship game. And it's going to continue to happen. And the more that you expand, the more that's going to happen. And where have we found ourselves talking? That's my other big, big point about all this. We're talking about teams that are 10-3, 10-2. We never would have been talking about those teams. Instead, we would have been talking about Oregon. Do they belong? Well, does Ohio State still get their shot? Oh my God, this is crazy. Because all those games mattered that much more. That's all I was saying. But we're never going to go back to that time. Instead, we're going to be talking about teams 10, 11, 12. We're talking about Ole Miss. We're talking about Tulane. We're talking about James Madison. That's where we are. And look, it's going to be a great field. I'm actually very excited for this. 12, whatever. I've come around. And I'm going to enjoy the games. I think the games are going to be a ton of fun. They're going to be a ton of fun. Just Notre Dame's not going to be part of it. And then the way they react, they take their ball and they go home. They think they're sticking it to the man. Nah. Just kind of wear an egg on your face and you're kind of embarrassing yourself. I know I'm excited because I cover Georgia Tech and I get to go down to the Pop-Tarts Bowl. And I'm thrilled about that. I get to go watch a Pop-Tart sacrifice his life for the betterment of mankind. So cool. I love the Pop-Tart Bowl. We're going to have a lot of fun. All right, one more segment to go. We got some headlines. We're going to whip around the NFL. We weren't able to do that much yesterday, but we also have some Monday Night Football stuff. What the heck is happening with the Colts? We'll talk about all of it and more. This is the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Taking a look at the top local sports stories with the Hometown Take.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome in, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. My name is Garrett Chapman, filling in for Dylan Matthews this morning. Got one segment to go. Morning Shift coming up next. Got a lot to get into there. Talking college football, more Falcons stuff. They'll be reacting to everything that Raheem Morris has said this week, and kind of what the expectations are if we move into Thursday, where the Falcons can play spoiler down in Tampa Bay against our division rivals. A lot to get into on that side. But they'll be coming in here starting at 6 o'clock. They'll take you all the way up until 9 o'clock. Reminder that Dukes and Bell, they are up at Ticketmaster Studios today. They'll be up at Flowery Branch. They'll be chatting with the head coach, Raheem Morris. Mike Johnson is filling in for Carl Dukes in that show. So that'll be an interesting conversation. Mike Bell, running point with Raheem Morris. That'll be fun. And so I'll be up there later on today, too. So I'll be eagerly tuning in on that one. So I'll be in on the Odyssey app. I encourage you to do the same. But that should be a lot of fun. Plus the little college football discussion. And we had a little bit in that last segment there talking about just Notre Dame and kind of where this team stands. Talking about that Odyssey app, man, you just hit that rewind button and you can go back and listen to all of it. As far as what else we saw this weekend, it's a big day on Sunday. We had a big night last night with Monday Night Football. We have the Eagles falling again. Feels like, I don't know, 2 years ago when the Eagles just sort of collapsed down the stretch. They're sitting at 8-5 right now. Chargers sitting at 9-4 after the Chargers beat him in overtime, 22-19. And Jalen Hurts has, what, 4 interceptions in this game? Saquon Barkley, I mean, he's been good. Look, I mean, he was never going to come back and do what he did last year. I mean, that's just, there's a, I don't know, I don't believe in curses necessarily, but I do believe in overuse. I think that happens. And I'm not saying that the Eagles overused him necessarily, but they used him a lot. And oftentimes in the NFL, if you're RB1, like you are the top running back in the NFL, you run for 2,000 yards, they put a lot of weight on you, and then you go win a Super Bowl, you're going to have a bit of a regression. But look, Saquon still had turned around, had a great year. He has 20 carries for 122 yards in this game, scores a touchdown. A.J. Brown goes over 100 yards for what feels like the fifth game in a row. But Jalen Hurts, there's 4 back-breaking interceptions in this game, and they lose in overtime to the Chargers. And it makes it, look, heroic game, I think you could say, for Justin Herbert. Just had surgery on his hand. He's playing with a plate in there. It's just incredible. Jim Harbaugh described him as a superhero. Described him as a superhero. I love Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh-isms are fascinating to me because I don't know where he gets it. Something about he doesn't eat chicken because it's a scared bird. It's a shaky bird, so he doesn't like to eat chicken. It's just weird, man. It's weird. But as far as interesting things that the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers has to say, take a listen to what Jim Harbaugh said about the performance of Justin Herbert.
This is definitely, maybe the best feeling, just wonderful, wonderful feeling of winning and thrill of victory. It's certainly in the discussion. I put in the discussion the birth of my seven children, my marriage, you know, in the conversation, just joyful.
Look at that backtrack. A regular season win over the Philadelphia Eagles. I appreciate Jim Harbaugh because he lives in the moment and he enjoys himself, and especially in those. He loves his hyperbolic statements, man. Let me tell you what. I mean, I like a good hyperbolic statement every now and then, too. But at the same time, my God, this guy's fun. But no, Chargers are moving to 9-4. Makes for an interesting race out there in the AFC West. The Denver Broncos sitting up there atop the conference right now. And look at those Chiefs, man. Look at those Chiefs sitting at 6-7. They played Sunday night football two nights ago. And that's another game where backbreaking interceptions come around and they bite you in the butt. Kelce dropped a couple of passes, and look, I don't blame Mahomes for a lot of those interceptions. Just drop passes. And this team is now out of contention for the AFC West title. But Garrett, why are you talking about that? Well, because it reminds me of something. You know, back in the 90s and the early 2000s, the Atlanta Braves won 14 consecutive. That's a lot. And I've often said it strikes me as one of the unbreakable records in professional sports. I would have it right up there with a lot of the all-time, like you talk about the wins records, the strikeouts records, stuff like that in baseball. But I mean, you could talk about Brady winning 6 Super Bowls, winning 14 consecutive titles, division titles. I don't think we're ever going to see that again, because that is sustained dominance for a decade and a half. The person, the team who came the closest, the New England Patriots, from 2009 to 2019. Tom Brady led this team. I mean, look, you're like, oh, but Garrett, 2008 happened. Yeah, 2008 happened. That's one of the things that happens in professional sports. Sometimes people get hurt. Sometimes the season goes awry. Sometimes another team gets really hot, and they beat you. It did not happen a single time to the Atlanta Braves over the course of a decade and a half. And it's moments like this that you just have to sit back and realize just how spectacular that run was. But Garrett, they only got one World Series. That's not the point. That's a moot point. I don't want to talk about that part. But as far as the division titles go, I mean, it's something that we may never see again. And it's and any chance that we have to pop the champagne and celebrate that fact, I think that's something to keep in mind. But the Chiefs, they are out of contention and quickly falling out of contention of the playoffs, which is not something that I really thought I would be saying. I'm pulling up the NFL playoff picture right now, just as it stands. So going over to NFL.com and kind of seeing what it looks like. The Broncos are sitting up there at the top. That's the Patriots and Jags and Steelers. Those are your top four teams. I don't see an elite team in there, by the way, but that's a separate conversation. But two teams who are dropping quickly like a stone. The Indianapolis Colts, we'll talk about them in just a second. And the Kansas City Chiefs sitting there at number 10. They're sitting at 6-7. Their current playoff chances, which, I mean, it's a number. Take it with a grain of salt. It's still Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce and all these other guys. But at the same time, their playoff chances sit at 11%. 11%. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a team who's played in an AFC championship every single season of Patrick Mahomes' professional career when he is the starter. It's crazy how often they find themselves in a Super Bowl. And people crapped on that team all last year, and it looks like the chickens have come home to roost this year, but 6-7, and I don't think a lot of people really predicted that necessarily. Also, the Ravens sitting there at 6-7, but they play in a division that's, you know, struggling. Not exactly the best division this season, talking about the AFC North, but I mentioned the Broncos, a team who's just continuing to drop like a stone. It looks like the Chiefs are out of it, but we'll see. Crazy things can happen, and that's a really good team, but the Colts, yikes. We're talking about a tough situation there. The Indianapolis Colts, man, they are, since that Falcons game, really, that they played out in Berlin, they have not been the same team. And sometimes that happens. Yeah, they lost the game before that, and it's just a tough spot for them, man. And you go and you trade, you leverage basically your entire future. You send two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner. That's a very aggressive move that says we're ready to win right now. Since then, it has not been a lot of winning. There's not been a lot of winning. They sit at 8-5 and outside of the playoff picture right now. It's crazy. They're sitting at third place in the AFC South. Third place. And this isn't semi-pro at the Flint Tropics where you can cheer for fourth place. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a Colts team who leveraged their entire future, and then just a couple of weeks later, they lose Daniel Jones to an Achilles injury, which wishing him a speedy recovery. But good Lord. These are the types of decisions that get general managers fired. And it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate because the season that they were having to start the year was unbelievable. And look, a lot of people pegged them as the front runners in the AFC. And this is also just a reality in the NFL that you aren't always where you think you are. See the Atlanta Falcons. But to make things worse, I mean, Daniel Jones goes down with a season-ending Achilles injury. Brutal timing, too, because this is going to get him, push him well through his contract. And I don't know, is he a one-year, he had a one-year deal. Ugh. He had a chance to turn around and go sign a big contract somewhere, potentially this offseason, and could have done basically what Sam Darnold did last year. And instead, he's going to be on the mend, and I don't know if he's going to play at all next year. And that's a really difficult thing to come back from. That's really, really difficult. But to make things even worse, Riley Leonard is down with an injury. Looks like he has a knee injury. Anthony Richardson's on, I believe, on the IR still. So the Colts are left working out quarterbacks. And how about this for a name? Philip Rivers. That guy's been coaching football at the high school level for the last 4 years. 4 years. Oh, my God. Tough times there in Indianapolis. You're going to if he comes back, if they sign him, they're just working him out today. I don't think they'll sign him. I just think he's one of a handful of quarterbacks who are going. They're just trying to see if he has anything left in the tank. But my God, man. I mean, Philip Rivers. That's cool. I think that's got to be one of the more off-the-wall things that I have heard in general. I want him to sign him just because I think the viewership for that, I would tune in specifically to watch that game. Watch Philip Rivers. How old is he? 40-something years old? 45 or something? I don't even know. But he's been out of the league since 2020. Wow, what a league. What a league. The NFL just continues to deliver. But we got a lot of storylines, too, just across the NFL. Tampa Bay, I mean, they got some players coming back. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Shedeur Sanders just continuing to prove doubters wrong, doing a great job up there in Cleveland. He looks like he solidified that job, says Kevin Stefanski. Good for him. Good for him. Just ball out, man. Just ball out when you get your opportunity. You never know when that's going to come. But it's been a lot of fun. It's been an hour with you. Morning Shift coming up here on the other side. Garrett Schabban filling in for Dylan Matthews here on the Hometown Take. We will be back right here again same time tomorrow. Make sure to check us out. And if you miss us, I said it before, download that Odyssey app and take us with you wherever you go. Morning Shift, they are coming up here on the other side. My name is Garrett Chapman, filling in for Dylan Matthews. This has been the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be kind.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.